to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with more relationship news, confessions of a teenage drama queen, and Crocs stilettos.
Another great app. Buckle up. Before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh,
can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
All right, at the top, Tea Time is checking in with relationship news, including an engagement watch, which is really fun. We haven't done that in a bit.
Guys, the most important relationship of all, as we know, is friendship. So we wanted to really quick give a special birthday shout out.
Wow.
To one of our listeners, Haley. Her birthday was on Wednesday. Her friend Julia, who's a very good friend, asked that we do this. And since we have about 10 listeners plus our parents, we decided to do it. Haley, happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Really tough. I do have to say, it must be really difficult sharing a birthday with Johnny Depp. That is your most famous celebrity birthday. Very tough. But you also have Natalie Portman, so...
Oh,
you know.
That's cool. I like that.
Good
that
and bad.
Nice. Good for her.
Julia, your friend said that listening to Tea Time each week brought you two together, which I'm scared for you
How?
Guys, but happy for you at the same time.
Yeah. Yes, exciting
So happy
stuff.
Birthday. You have a good friend. All right, shall we check in with some celebs now?
Let's do it.
All right. Guys, I said it before when it was like really speculated and I'm scared of like the Kim Kardashian West and Kanye West teams. But now it's more official that Irina Shayk and Kanye are seeing each other potentially. They have been spotted and photographed officially. It seems like they took a birthday trip for Kanye's 44th birthday to France together, which is kind of crazy. And then they were spotted again. So they were like spotted walking around some big French compound, which was kind of odd, the photos. But anyway, then they were spotted again boarding a private jet back to the United States. So this is a little bit more substantial than we had the last time we talked about this. I'm still blown away and I've had time to process. I don't know. I guess I don't know much about her, so.
Yeah. Many layers to this.
Yeah.
First of all, it just makes me think that she is so much weirder than we ever knew. And it makes me think that Bradley Cooper is weirder than we ever knew. Because just like to go from someone normal to then Kanye West, you just can't. It just seems like someone who would date both those people, like they all must just be weirder than we ever could comprehend. So that's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned, you noted this in the pictures, they're walking really far apart.
Why? What? You guys should see this. I think the Daily Mail like obtained them first. They are spotted. They are legitimately 3 strides ahead or behind one another this entire walk. And it's like they're in the same photo. Like you might as well walk, you know, alongside.
Right. You're not
another.
Hiding anything.
Right.
We know you're together.
Right.
It's like she's 3 strides ahead of him the whole time. And they're like turned back and talking to him. I'm like, just walk slower, Irina.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
All right. Right.
What
they
goes
can be
on.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
very
weird.
Strange.
Super weird. I don't know how to feel about this relationship. I guess we'll just keep tabs. Sources are saying Kim Kardashian, again, doesn't care. She's so beyond it, yada, yada, which I kind of believe. So we're just going to let them go and be happy, I suppose.
Yeah.
Love that.
We'll see. We'll see.
We will see. All right. Next piece of relationship news.
Yeah. So this week, Kate Arthur, who works for Variety, was tweeting about the Variety Actors on Actors series, which comes out every year. Always really fun, delightful. And Elizabeth Olsen had a conversation with Kaley Cuoco. And Kate Arthur on Twitter tweeted out and said her husband had put something in like her like a book in the bathroom, like Little Miss Magic, because it was like a you know, reference to WandaVision. So that was behind her in the thing. And it turns out that nobody knew Elizabeth Olsen was married. So this like little fun little tweet from the Variety editor like somehow accidentally broke the news that Elizabeth Olsen was married. So it now has like over 500 quote tweets. The stands were like, I'm sorry, her what? Like her husband? So then poor Kate Arthur had to add on to the thread and be like, guys, like check the transcript, listen to the interview. Like she literally says husband. So then I tweeted, somehow I got drawn into this and quote tweeted it and was like, the ratio on this tweet is sending me because apparently it broke the news that Elizabeth Olsen was married. And then the stans, who knew Elizabeth Olsen had stans, first of all,
rude.
Started tweeting at me and they were like, these Kates are wilding out. And why are all these verified accounts acting like they know if this is true or not? I was like, guys, I don't know anything. I just read the same tweet that you read.
Damn. Why did you guys get dragged around online?
I don't know. I don't know. The stans just have like a radar for me. They were like, how many people knew and decided not to tell us? I'm like, okay, I didn't know. I just was talking about the way you guys ratioed this tweet. So yeah, somehow I got dragged into that. But just so you guys know, Elizabeth Olsen is married. I don't know her personally. I did not have that information. And I did not break that news. But Variety did. And yeah, congrats to her, I guess.
Yeah, congrats. Speaking of being married, a couple of engagements came out. And then one piece of sad news on the engagement front. But let's start with the good. Kate, go ahead.
Yeah, I just decided we should do engagement watch this week. And then I picked the only one that I was interested in and gave all the trash stuff to Liz and Amelia. So sorry about that. Okay, I have always been weirdly fascinated by Meryl Streep's kids and the fact that they have her exact face.
Not all of them, though. One of them doesn't. It's wild.
Yeah, right. The girls look very much like her.
Well, no, there's another daughter who doesn't look like her.
Oh, I don't know then?
Yeah, it's like the youngest one, and she does. You would not be able to pick her out of a crowd of Meryl Streep lookalikes.
The fact that, like,
or you would.
They didn't take, like, they obviously have her husband's last name. They, like, sort of kept their lives very quiet, and then they kind of ended up in these, like, mediocre show business careers anyway. Like, one of them was on The Newsroom. The other one's on, like, Mr. Robot. Anyway, we're talking about Grace Gummer today because she's engaged to Mark Ronson, which I did not know was a thing. Didn't know they were together unless we previously talked about it, but even then I forgot. And yeah, they're together. Also, didn't know Mark Ronson was previously engaged to Rashida Jones.
What?
In like 2003? I don't know. He's an enigma to me, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've both been previously married. They're engaged. They're happy. She was on Mr. Robot. And it's just a weird couple. It's a couple that I have never considered.
The problem with like this podcast is like we just know too much. Like now I'm going to know that Mark Ronson is going to be married to Meryl Streep's daughter and no one else will know. And now I'm just burdened with that celebrity piece of information. And then he was with Rashida Jones. It's too much.
Right. I just like picture Mark Ronson at like Streep family Christmas. Like, is that not like a fascinating mental scenario?
It's crazy.
The Gummers, the Mamie and Grace Gummer are so interchangeable to me. Like, literally, they are the same person.
They all have the same face as their mom.
And like you're saying, they do these like semi-prestige shows, but they're always like the background character. Right. And you're like, oh, that person looks like Meryl Streep. And you're like, oh, it's the daughter.
Yeah.
One of them, I don't know which one, but one of them.
Right, exactly. You get it.
Thank you.
Next piece of engagement watch news. An absolute A-list celeb. Can't wait to dedicate time to this.
We have two A-listers coming up. So get your notepads ready, everyone. Yeah, we have three A-listers coming up. So everyone, slow down this podcast. Okay. First up, we have Luke. At first I thought that was like Luke Hemsworth and I was like, wait, there's like too many Hemsworths, but this is Luke Hemmings. He's also Australian. He is the 5 Seconds of Summer frontman. You remember them?
First of all, disrespectful.
Okay.
I've had a couple of great albums recently.
Wait. Okay. Also, Amelia, did you know there is legitimately a Luke Hemsworth and he is the third Hemsworth brother?
Okay. Yeah.
So no wonder you thought that. Okay. Keep going.
There you go.
But he got engaged. Not Luke. Luke Hemmings.
Oh yeah.
Hemmings. Sorry. He's engaged to his girlfriend Sierra Deaton. So.
Guys, this was big news on social media. Both of their names were like trending.
Oh, really?
Okay. First of all, let's have some respect for the boy bands on this podcast. Listen, I mean, it was like 5 seconds. Her name was trending. I was like, why is the name Sierra trending? Hmm. And then his name was trending. The stans are like really hardcore about this engagement.
I love that for them.
I do have respect for boy bands. I just don't know that I have respect for five seconds of summer. But I've been proven wrong, obviously. If the stans care.
We'll that deliver. Young Blood song, wasn't that them? That
it's good.
That's a good song. That's a legitimately good song. That was like my wake up thing on my iPhone. So it's like kind of jarring to me now.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. You like have trauma associated with exactly. it. Exactly. It's your
like,
alarm.
It's like, remember? And I'm like, ugh. Okay, sorry. And then other boy bander. This is, I think he's a bigger name, right?
Yeah.
Liam Payne, he split with his fiance, Maya Henry. I don't know who this lady is, but
she was the one who was like 18. When they started dating. Well, so I consider this a net win, actually. I'm sad that they are not together and I hope that they find someone better, but she was really young.
Yeah, Kate, that was going to be my only question to you from a One Direction stan is did the other stans like her? Was this a relationship they supported? Because they're so territorial over those guys.
You
I didn't know.
I don't think Liam had like quite the hardcore like shipping as much as the other ones did. So actually, I think he kind of got off scot-free because I don't think there was like another member of One Direction that they were like convinced he was like secretly in love with. I could be wrong. I'm sure there is one somewhere, but I think they weren't quite as hardcore about Liam.
Okay.
So I think this was allowed.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Uh-huh. And then finally, on the engagement news front, Frankie Grande is Ariana Grande's brother, the biggest star of all in this category. He got engaged and is very sweet. He apparently planned a celebration with his boyfriend and it was going to be celebrating his 4-year sober anniversary. Oh. And that's what he told him, and that they were going to meet up with friends, celebrate that. And then he surprised him with a proposal. The only thing that kind of caught me off guard was that he did it at, it was technically one of their like memorable first dates, but it was at a virtual reality place in LA.
That's too much.
And apparently they put the VR thing on and then it says, will you marry me? Like it, as the message I've never done it, in the glasses.
The goggles,
and then there was virtual fireworks and all that stuff. So,
I'm not into that.
I personally would not like to be proposed in a virtual reality environment, but that's just me.
Yeah.
So congrats to all those people and sorry to Liam Payne, I guess is what we're saying. Okay, let's keep going. Not worth the tea this week in social media and just the miscellaneous category. Kate, take it away.
Guys, this was an oversight last week and I would like to apologize for this absolutely huge news item that we just straight up missed. That's on me. And it's about Lil Uzi Vert and his forehead diamond. Please cast your minds back. I think maybe a month or so at this point, probably more than that, couple months, to Lil Uzi Vert and his $24 million pink diamond that he got implanted in his forehead. He has now taken it out. Shocking news that he will not be going through life with this absolutely massive rock literally in his head. I, for one, just can't believe it.
I'm relieved.
But it turns out it was causing him bleeding.
Oh,
who could have predicted that?
Christ,
that's not good.
Yeah. So he's posted some pictures, like he's been in people's Instagram stories. He was spotted in Miami. His forehead does not have a $24 million diamond sticking out of it anymore.
Does it have a hole?
Yeah. I was going to say, is there a scar?
You know, I saw he's in like a video on someone's Instagram and he doesn't have any marks on his forehead, but I also like didn't want to do any digging because I think it would gross me out to see some sort of unhealed wound. Although I have to tell you that he said in an interview that he put it in his forehead because he couldn't trust himself not to lose it.
Iconic.
So absolutely terrible excuse, but I'm glad that it's out of his forehead. I hope it is somewhere else in his house.
Yeah.
He expressed maybe a desire to turn it into a ring, which seems much more practical. Although, again, it's like 11 carats. So that's your one arm is going to be like jacked and your other arm isn't from carrying that thing around. I'm happy for his forehead. I hope it heals correctly going forward.
Yeah, me too. That was stressful thinking about that infection.
Really stressful.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm glad we have closure and I'm glad his forehead has closure. Okay. Also important. A tea time staple. Thruple Watch is back because the Gossip Girl reboot now has an official trailer. It's out on July 8th. And Listen, I was like iffy on it. I'm like, I'm getting kind of like try hard Euphoria CW Ooh. Energy.
Yeah.
Watch the trailer. And first of all, there's a throuple in the first episode. So immediately I'm like, you know what? I think just by virtue of having a throuple, like I have to watch it. Mm. I just for okay. journalistic, for science, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
For this podcast. But other than that, you know, it seems fun, I think. I think I'm allowed to say this because I don't think the actors are actual teenagers. All the girls in the show are really hot. The guys could be hotter, I think.
That's mm. always the case. That's the always original, the case.
The original Gossip Girl cast, I feel like, had just like Oof. A really hot group of guys.
Murderer's Row of young
and
actors.
Really? That meant See? That they could get away with okay. a lot. Who were you not into on the Gossip
Girl
cast?
I'll be honest, when they, because I had read the books and was like really into the books. And then oh, when they showed tough. When they showed Nate, I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding
me. You didn't
me.
Like wow. Nate?
Oh, I really God. Didn't. I was pissed off.
That's
I was like,
spicy.
I know.
Even
I'm sorry.
In the first couple seasons before he like got punched and they had to like change his face.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? Didn't what, that
are,
happen?
Stop. Are you more of like a Rufus gal? Like, did you like him?
You know what?
What about actually, like Chuck maybe. Bass?
No.
He's oh, problematic now,
so
but at
uggo.
The time.
No. Yeah. So oh my uggo. God. I'm sorry. Okay. Not Whoa. Today. Yeah. No. Nope.
That's a take.
Sorry.
Well, maybe you'll like the new one.
okay.
We'll see. There are definitely okay. some lookers in the cast. I mean, it's on HBO Max. There's going to be like a ton of sex, I'm sure. So like, I'm sure the kids will be talking about it. We'll see.
See, I just need to pick and choose what to watch on HBO Max now because yeah. it's like, you know what? I can't be watching this and The Flight Attendant and Hacks and
Ooh, The Flight Attendant is good, actually.
I know. I see. And I think I'm going to choose that over this Gossip Girl reboot because it's like,
That's
I like the first yeah. one and you know, I don't need to watch this new crap. Sorry.
That's fine.
Sorry to
We're
say.
Old, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That's anyway, just throw up a watch update for you.
Okay, nice. Great. Next one. Very exciting. I think, Kate, I think all of us are Lord fans. I think you have been mm-hmm. waiting for this very publicly yes. for a very long time. Lord is teasing her new album. She had it on her website, arriving in 2021. Patience is a Virtue. She released her album nice. Cover, which is what everyone is talking about. The album is going to be named Solar Power. And the album cover is an upshot of Lorde basically jumping over the camera, you can picture.
Get it, girl.
In what looks like maybe a thong bathing suit or maybe some whatever she wants to do. It's just her bare legs and then she looks very tan. It's the sunshine streaming behind her. Mm. It's like very summery and like very fun and joyful and kind of carefree. I'm extremely excited. Her last album was in 2017. That's when Melodrama was...
Yeah,
released
like
I think
early. It was early 2017 because yeah. I was still in college.
Yeah.
When Melodrama came out.
Jesus, yeah, I just can't wait. This seems like fun. Like it's going to be a fun yeah. album, and yeah. maybe not like a real inner feels. Like this feels very summery. Obviously, it's going to come. I don't know. Maybe within the next couple months, I hope for summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, can't wait.
People are excited because like Phoebe Bridgers and like Jack Antonoff and Claro are like all involved in the album.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yeah. It'll be yeah. like a more sensitive, maybe like more low-key Ooh. Hot girl summer. That's what I kind of get the yeah. vibe from her. Yeah. It's like that energy, That's but funny. Not as overt.
Right. Yeah.
That reminds me of, you guys watch RuPaul's Drag Race? There's like, I've been watching it recently and there's this one guy. And they were like, they're in like a singing competition. The guy's like, well, you know, even Lorde has these. And then like they cut to one of the drag queens, Bob the drag queen. And he's like, I hate Lorde.
Like, oh, damn. Bob.
Sorry. I'm just like, that just triggered that for me. So anyway, that was Lorde. Really neither here nor there. So
yes,
yeah.
we do. Okay. Next one, Amelia.
Yes. Okay. So in shocking news, Tyler Perry has announced to the world he is bringing back Madea. From maybe death, retirement, because he said that the world needs to laugh. And, you know, also he wants attention because, I mean, the man is so rich already. It's like, why would you bring this back? But it's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm bringing back Madea. It was like, wow, well, we missed her. So thank God. And this is just very much, it's like, you know, the Elton John ploy where Elton John's been doing like farewell tours since like maybe the early 90s. And this is Tyler Perry being like, I've retired Madea. She's never coming out again. Like this is the end. This is the end. The Madea's Boo Halloween is the last one. And then it's like, nope, just kidding. I want attention. She's coming back and she's coming to Netflix.
Yeah, you're right. This article that you linked, this People article, kind of quotes him over the years being like, I'm done. I don't want to play. I don't want to be old playing Medea, yada, yada. Right. And this keeps coming. It's also coming to Netflix, which I think is interesting because Netflix has everything. Once again, it's strange.
You can say no.
Happy for that fat paycheck you probably got, though.
I know.
That's probably a lot.
Yeah. It probably is a lot, but it's just like, okay. Also, that's a little slap in the face to all the really great comedians right now. But okay, he's like, the world needs to laugh because Bo Burnham's not doing it for us. So we got to bring back Madea. And like, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Okay, full pivot. Cleansing the podcast. We're going to do cringe mode. We are covering this week the iconic 2004 Lindsay Lohan movie, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. I think that you guys hadn't watched this before. This was a pivotal movie for me in my childhood and adolescence, I should say.
I think I was the only one who hasn't seen it. Amelia, you've seen it, right?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen like clips. Yeah. I know.
Oh my God, you're such a fan.
I know.
That's shocking.
I just didn't have the time, I guess.
Yeah. Busy lady.
So, Kate, I know you've only watched this once, but you do the plots. Are you good to take this one?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan is, this will shock you, a very dramatic teen. She lives in New York. She grew up in New York City. It's like very much her personality that she is from New York City and she wants to be an actress. But unfortunately, her family moves to New Jersey. And so she is in a new school. She basically like her whole thing is like, I'm from New York. I'm a star and I shouldn't be stuck in this small town, which you would think would be annoying. But it's actually very charming somehow in this movie. She wears all these insane outfits. She makes friends with this, also on The Newsroom. This young girl, Ella, who is like very introverted. She clashes with Megan Fox, who is the mean girl in the movie. And basically, she bonds with her friend over this band that they love called Sid Arthur.
Nice.
And turns out Sid Arthur is going to be done. They're breaking up. So there's this like finale, like final concert. There's this whole drama over going and getting tickets. They end up meeting the lead singer. He's like drunk and a mess. And then they go to a party and they make up with the mean girl and the singer shows up. And also there's a musical that she's in her school. That could have gone better. This is a complicated movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are songs and she ends up performing in this musical. And that's it. That's all I got. Right.
Good job.
That's good.
That's good.
Sorry.
All right. Let's do the highlights. You're up first, actually.
Guys, tight 90 minutes. We love to see it. Logged on to Disney Plus. Everyone else in the world was watching Loki. We were watching the 2004 film Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. And I just cannot tell you my joy when I log on to knock off a cringe mode and it's an hour and 30 minutes long.
Yep.
It gets me every time. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy. Every movie should be 90 minutes.
They packed it in,
Agreed.
Too. Obviously, as
they
we just
did.
Heard.
A lot happened.
On the plot.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
All right, Amelia, what's your highlight?
I would say on that note, just like logging on, and one of the first scenes is like a beginning clip of CGI Lindsay Lohan doing a flip off a tree is
is
iconic early CGI. Like, it is so obvious that it was like that they did this on a computer. It's like, do you remember the meme that went around of like the computerized Mike Pence like twerking to WAP? No. Do you remember that? Do you remember? No. Do you remember that? Okay, I'll post a video because it's like, so that's what it reminded me of. It was just like very janky, and but it was just like, yes, they're using CGI, the legs.
Legs are bicycling through the air as she turns over. It's so fucking funny. I'm so happy you said this. That is a highlight for sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crazy CGI in this movie. A lot of like fascinating graphic choices.
Yeah.
Other highlights, there is a Dance Dance Revolution showdown in this movie, and it's as beautiful as you would hope. It's Megan Fox versus Lindsay Lohan, which is also just incredible. They're doing the thing where it's like round one, and they're in their little outfits, and like Lindsay Lohan's wearing like a Knicks jersey and a Knicks hat, but like fashion version, and they're like holding on to the back and like doing their little like pa pa pa. And this movie is, it's hard to stress how much this movie is like Lindsay Lohan is actually a pop star. Mm-hmm. But it really pushes that agenda.
Yeah.
So like all of the musical related things are like really hardcore and like self-serious, which is incredibly entertaining. But that also applies to the Dance Dance Revolution showdown. Like, takes it incredibly seriously.
Totally.
I cannot believe you put this in the highlights. I put this in the lowlights, not knowing you put it in the highlights.
It's
this
so
is the
good,
cringiest
Liz.
Scene of the entire movie. I had a hard time fucking watching. I can't. Who has secondhand embarrassment watching Megan Fox and Lindsay Lohan jump over like a little handrail, which is not how DDR works.
It's
like
iconic.
Yeah.
It was
my
so good.
Kate. Yeah.
I absolutely cringed my way through it, but I also was like, I can't believe this is happening.
Amazing.
This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
Also, my only interaction prior to this movie, this is another highlight, was that a childhood friend, like a young childhood friend, had the soundtrack to this movie on a CD in her mom's car. And I like vividly remember looking at the CD, seeing all the like faces of Lindsay Lohan on it. And then she would like play it constantly, the Teenage Drama Queen song that is part of this movie.
Yes.
And somehow, like, I mean, I guess I was 9 in 2004, so that is as young as I could have been, but I imagine it was that year. I remember, like, every word to this song, just based on having heard it, like, multiple times in this car. It's great. The song is great.
Yeah. The DVD is still up in my room, FYI. Steps away from me at this moment at age 27. I still
amazing.
Have it.
I love
as it
that.
Should be.
No, there are some real, like, the music in this, what I think is so funny is, like, there are a lot of, like, mid-tier hits in this movie that were used. And, of course, we have to, you know, say something about the iconic use of Simple Plan's Perfect when she's, like, crying. That was just, like, who decided to put those two together? You're a genius. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and also, the person who wrote this is a genius because the character of Lola, who her real name is Mary, but she's like, you know what? I changed my mind. I want it to be Lola because Mary just doesn't work for me. And that's iconic. I think that inspired the Lady Bird script, to be honest. So Greta Gerwig, you need to pay this screenwriter. And then also, I think she inspired, I think the character of Lola inspired like Anna Sorokin, you know, the grifter.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, she's just trying to be a socialite and stuff. And Lindsay makes it look so much fun. And it's just like, I do want to aspire to be a grifter queen. So, you know.
She inspired me at that age. I was 11 watching this.
There you go.
She gave me the building blocks to be like a dramatic ass teenager.
Yes.
You
yes.
guys have read a couple of my diary entries from that time. I think now watching this, I was like, holy shit, that is how my mind worked. It, because everything happens like to her, you know what I mean? And to no one else. She like she makes everyone else's lives revolve around her, which is probably just classic teenage girl. But definitely I probably took a bit too much of this and was extremely dramatic as like a preteen. At one point, Lola goes on a hunger strike, you know, because her mom won't let her go to New York. She holds a funeral for the breakup of this band.
Yes.
She tells every classmate and friend she has that her dad died just to make her sound more interesting. I have a theory about like her character as like an actual friend that I will say later. But anyway, as like for the dramatics and the theatrics, I feel like she really nailed it.
Yes.
It's also, we said, just an iconic Megan Fox role. 3 years earlier, she debuted this type of character in Holiday in the Sun as like a my daddy is rich, you don't know who I am type of character. Channeled it, worked on it, now was just a full force in this movie. She was fucking
so
great.
Funny. She's so funny.
Some of the lines that they gave her, like, those glasses are so 10 minutes ago. Like, those things that she delivers so seriously was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Also, she kind of talks like that anyway. And I'm not saying that she is a mean girl, but like I just the other day was watching an interview that she did on the Kelly Clarkson show that was actually really likable. But she does kind of have this diction in her just natural voice where she just kind of sounds like kind of like, okay, like whatever.
That's exactly what it is.
That's so true.
And it's just like kind of part of how she talks.
Love that.
It just fits these roles so perfectly. Like it seems like she's like overdoing it a little bit, but then you're like, no, that's literally just how Megan Fox talks.
Yeah, she was fucking
great. Give her more roles,
Yes.
Also, just an iconic Lindsay Lohan year in history. It's 2004. Yeah. Mean Girls comes out this year, which is so mind-blowing. We can talk about that later and like what has aged the best and the worst. But crazy good year for her. I don't know that this Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen was up to par and was also as impressive. But anyway, she had Mean Girls. Her first studio album, Speak, was released in 2004. Her Be Fully Loaded would be coming out the following year. She was 18. She was just like the queen of that time. Queen of 2004, I would say.
Yes, 100%.
All right, let's do some lowlights. Kate?
Again, I just feel like I keep bringing this up every podcast, but I felt a little attacked by this movie as someone who has recently moved from a city to not a city, not a big city. She's moving to New Jersey. She's like looking at the cows and like in this neighborhood. And she goes, ugh. And her mom's like, it's just grass. And she's like, it's all over the place. Which, iconic. Again, as someone who's been walking around Indiana going on weekly Target runs as the highlight of my life, there is grass all over the place, and that's pretty much it. So I just felt a little attacked. I also have to say I did not put this in here, but I felt a little attacked by, like, the fangirl culture in this movie. Mm-hmm. As someone who is a fan of, like, K-pop groups that have been disbanding lately, I'm like, damn, the funeral? Like, I get it. I feel that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, like, a little bit attacked by that. Also, I got to tell you, there's like a love interest in this movie. She like kisses him at the end of the movie. And I was like, who are you? Like, do we know your name? Did we ever learn your name?
I don't know.
In this
Sam,
movie? I guess
right?
We did. It's Sam. But I'm just like, the rock star comes to find her. Like, yes, he has issues, but also you could fix him.
She's also like a lot older than her.
Absolutely not. I am so shocked by you writing that.
Yeah. I know. You're right. I just was so bored by fucking Sam. I was like, why are you here? Like, you don't need to be here.
Right. True.
That when she's like, no to Sid Arthur, and then she like makes out with rando Sam. I was like, this isn't a good ending.
Sid Arthur is a freaking creep. It's the epitome of like never meet your heroes, which is like they found out at the time. Like they idolize this man. He ends up getting kicked out of his own party, which is how they meet. Like they have this whole saga with him where they've been like leading up to this moment. He's a drunken mess, which is, you know, he's troubled. That's okay. But then also he comes back to find her at the end of the movie and she's like, how you been? And he was like, basically, like, I'm sober now because someone told me that, like, I was a mess, like, all flirty.
I'm like, I'm going to rehab. Like, oh, my God, this is, like, really adult.
Right. But and all it took was this one 16-year-old to be like, oh, you're such a mess. To him be like, oh, I've hit rock bottom. Like, that got
very
you sober?
Creepy.
So bizarre.
That's
anyway,
true.
Anyway, he was fucking weird and I didn't enjoy him.
I agree. Yeah. I will say one like this is really nitpicking, but there's a scene where Megan Fox and her little cronies are all wearing like designer, like we've got Burberry and Coach. But if you stop the movie and you zoom in on her friend to the left, who is actually the girl, have you seen Life with Derek?
Mm-mm.
On the Disney Channel? No, it's so good. It's like this Canadian TV show that I used to like watch in just shame. But anyway, she is in that, but she plays one of Megan's friends, and she is rocking what appears to be a Coach with those little, the C logo bag. But if you zoom in on the bag, there are little G's on the Coach, and they're not Gucci G's. They are those Coach G's that you find on knockoff bags on Canal Street in New York City. Like, it is just this... God damn it. You know, like, you're not rich. You need, okay. And Coach is literally, that is the least expensive, like, you know, logo bag you can buy. So they couldn't even afford that for the budget. Come on.
The budget was $15 million. They were tight. You know what I mean? Lindsay Lohan, they had to do a big cash payout. So
I guess, who knows what they had left. Jeez. That was disappointing.
Yeah. We already covered it. I put the Dance Dance Revolution scene was just fucking too much, but Kate disagrees, so we don't have
great
to
continue
on that conversation. all right, what has aged the best and the worst? Amelia.
I would say best. She is a fashion girl of the 2000s, and I have run into many a fashion girl, and they love to take risks, and honestly, we have to stan. And you know what? Y2K fashion is coming back, which scares me a little bit. But, you know, it's just, it's a great look. And now I think people will be watching this movie and trying to cop her style because she is over 100%. The top. She is wild. Like, she is mixing patterns. She is, she's going for it. She's mixing brands. It's iconic. She looks great. It's just, I mean, I'm sorry, but Lindsay Lohan, she has the most perfect face, okay? And she just can pull everything off. I just, oh my God. Okay, sorry. Continue.
We'll
sorry.
Save it for the MVP section, okay. Our okay. real yeah, Lilo yeah. standing. Yeah. Age the worst. I gotta tell you, it's probably for the best considering the content of Jennifer's body, but seeing actual high school age Megan Fox in this movie really emphasizes how much she's like very clearly in her 20s in Jennifer's sure. body, which like again is good. Like, we don't want Megan Fox, like actual teenager Megan Fox, doing any of that in Jennifer's body. But like, once I saw her in this, I was like, oh, she's like an adult in Jennifer's body. It's like very obvious that she's not high school age, but it's fine. You know, they both work.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. I want to shoehorn one other thing for best freckles. Okay.
Yes.
Freckles of Megan Fox and Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. I don't know why Megan Fox got rid of her freckles, but oh my God, freckles are, I remember freckles. And they're still in, but like, just being like, I'm never wearing sunscreen because I want freckles. And freckles look so good, which is not good. Wear sunscreen. But freckles. Just a great look.
The teens really are cute. Putting freckles, painting freckles on their faces now. I see it all over TikTok. So that has aged the best.
Me too. Yes. And then I would also say them doing the Pygmalion remake, kind of. It was like, I mean, it's been done before, obviously. My Fair Lady is... remake of it. But, you know, I love that they're doing it in New York City. I think that would actually, someone, Baz Luhrmann, now is your time to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know? So.
I think also something that's aged the best is just teens having to romanticize their own lives, which is a form of survival, depending on like where you are in the country. But I've been on enough like teenage TikTok now to know that all you need is a rainstorm and an empty parking lot and your life is a movie and no one can tell you otherwise. That. And I like it. I mean, that's, you know, you gotta spice up your own life and be responsible for thinking that like everyone now calls them, you know, it's like you're the main character. I think that's the 2021 version of like Lola, because she certainly has like big,
huge,
she's literally the main character in this
main
movie.
Character energy.
But you're not
my
the
gosh.
Judy Greer.
I'm right.
Yes.
Right. Sorry. Right. Right. So
that's
I think,
a great point.
Yeah. Teenagers will continue to do this. I think I did it. Maybe you guys did it too. It's just
that.
Like you got to in order to survive your teenagers.
Totally.
What has aged the worst, I think, is like the fact that this movie and Mean Girls, which is such a like a titan in the comedy world still now, was released in the same year. Like, she had the same agents, the same team that was telling her to do certain and pick certain movies. Like, I just can't believe it that one is,
it's wild,
this like icon, and this is an icon but in a different way, you know, in a smaller way.
It really, and even just like, I mean, the fact that she's the same age in both movies is
wild,
because the characters are so different and just the depiction of high school right. is so different.
However, I would say there are some through lines to this. Like she narrates both as like kind of the mm-hmm. the obviously mm-hmm. the main character. She's the outcast that moves into this small suburban town yeah. that has to like find her way. There's a good amount of physical comedy in this movie and Mean Girls.
Yes.
There's like even yeah. a fucking trash can scene
You're
like
so
running
right.
through the halls.
You're
I was
so
like,
right.
oh, this is exactly Lindsay Lohan before she head dives into that big trash can in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
It just, I did see some similarities actually, but
so
yeah,
many
obviously.
Parallels.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
you're
crazy.
So right. I didn't even think of that, but you're so, oh my God. Someone should do a side by side. That's, yes. Amazing.
If only someone was a writer on this podcast, Kate. Think about that. All right. Let's do MVPs. I think we know Amelia, but go ahead.
I mean, it's Lindsay Lohan. 2004 yeah. was her year. I know that 2021 is going to, the tail end is going to be her year too, okay? And I saw a tweet somewhere where someone was like, you know, you guys are making fun that she's just doing an overboard remake. Well, these are the same people who will see the same fucking Fast and Furious movie, you know, 20 times in a theater. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You're right. You're
Amen.
Right. So mm-hmm. let Lindsay have fun with her Netflix holiday movie. Mm-hmm. She is so great in this. Her comedic timing, just her... A delivery of the line. I mean, we've known this because she's in Parent Trap, you know, in Mean Girls. She can transform into a character. She really is a great actress. Mm-hmm. And yes, maybe she partied a little too much, but can you blame her? I mean, to be
no.
young, hot, and in 2004, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't. And, you know, she's just amazing. And she's so good in this. And also, she knows that she's a fucking... boss, you know, she the fucking icon she is. She shows up to the goddamn premiere with the guy who played Stu and not her actual love interest. Like,
incredible,
oh, amazing.
There it is.
We have to stand. Like, she knows she's too good for the love interest and she's going straight to the rock star. That's
you're
yeah.
so right. You're so right, Lindsay. She's just so yeah. inherently likable in this. Like, the character yeah. on paper is so annoying. Like, the character yeah. of Lola, like, why would you like this character? Why are we rooting for this character who
yes.
lies to people
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, just is so over the top and annoying? But, like, there's no point in this movie where I was, like, annoyed by her or
no.
not rooting for her.
Yeah.
Because she
yeah.
just, she brings so much, like, charm and joy to it. That
so much.
It's just great. Also, her singing is great.
And the yes. role was originally offered to Hilary Duff, which is so oh. crazy to think about. She would have obviously done a good job. We also love Hilary Duff, but she's different.
Not
it's
the
great.
Same.
Not
I don't,
the same.
She, I'm sorry, but Hilary Duff, fall off cliff. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Okay,
wait,
maybe not.
You're
maybe
fine
not today.
Anti-Hilary
like
Duff?
Yeah. She's fine. She's fine, but the real actress, the real star is Lindsay Lohan. I'm just saying,
yeah.
that's my opinion. That's my personal opinion.
You're
okay?
right. You're right. I mean, not about the fall of a cliff part, but comparatively,
right, right,
this
right.
is Lindsay's role for sure.
This is. Kate, who's your MVP?
Obviously got to be Lindsay Lohan, but honorable mention to the kooky drama teacher. Oh. We love a kooky drama
yes.
teacher on this podcast.
Yes.
And we get a great one. We get a great one in this movie.
She's
so,
very funny. Love Carol Kane. She's fucking great.
So good. Yeah.
Also, obviously, the MVP is Lindsay Lohan. However, I do have this like theory. It's going to be quick, but played by anyone else, she's low-key maybe a bad friend. And I think everyone has a friend in their youth, if you're on like the quiet or shy side, who like drags you into things that make you genuinely uncomfortable, but under the guise of like, come on, don't you want to like live and have fun? And then you as like a quiet, more like introverted person are like, oh, okay. But it genuinely makes you uncomfortable. Lindsay Lohan dragged this girl, Allison Pill, for 67 blocks through New York City in the
she
dead
did.
Of the night. Where
she
was
did.
Very genuinely scared and wanted to go home. So if you think that you don't have that friend, that means you are that friend. And I would say, and I think in your mid-20s, you like learn, you're like, oh, people did things that I genuinely didn't want to do under like a,
right.
you know, have fun. Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, stay smart. Quickly,
yep.
the lightning round.
We only have two.
We only have two questions.
Really lightning this week.
Oh, God.
Best 2000s fit, Kate.
Guys, the amount of hats in this movie, I cannot stress it enough. Every other scene, there's a hat or a head
it's
accessory.
True. Yes.
Bucket hats everywhere. The little like pageboy caps everywhere. Literally couldn't choose a favorite hat, but I know Amelia is going to shout out the Knicks outfit. So I'm actually maybe going to pick the Knicks, the embroidered accompanying bedazzled Knicks hat.
Yeah, it's
yes,
awesome.
Really
Knicks
good.
Outfit.
That's
I mean,
good.
She's got, it looks a little homemade. She's got some macrame going on. You know, she's
yeah.
also rocking her Coke bottle necklace. So I was gonna say, got a lot of shit going on. Yeah.
Rocks up throughout the whole movie.
The whole movie. And that plays a pivotal part in bringing Sid Arthur, you know, to his, you know, to meeting them, I guess, kind of in the end. But yeah, she's got also what I love. I'm looking at a picture right now. She has those arm, what are they called? Arm warmers.
Yeah.
You know, the,
where they're like sleeves, but like sleeves,
like fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Fingerless gloves. That's what it is. When, like, I don't know why we thought that was a good idea to steal from the 80s. But like that, I remember that happening back in like 2004. That, and then she has another like sweatband wrist arm thing further up her arm. And
so many layers, literal layers. So many
confusing clothes.
Everything
costumes.
Is so like four different pieces on top of each other. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
I love
really
good. That. Yeah.
Lastly, who wore the 2000s sidekick conductor hat better? Kelsey from High School Musical or Ella?
This is a great question. Like, based, like, you know, bitch stole my look, side by side. It's got to be Ella. However, Kelsey made it her entire brand.
Thank
and
you.
I just absolutely have to respect that. Like, you think of Kelsey from High School Musical, and the only thing anyone thinks of is the awful hats, you know, and like
hat.
History has not remembered Alison Pill as Ella, but like history has remembered Kelsey from High School Musical and her stupid hats.
It's
so like, I got to give
so
it to
true.
Her.
That's so true. So true.
I also, again, think genuinely Ella will go to college and graduate and be like, oh, maybe Lola, that friend I had in high school, is like pretty shitty. So I'm going to pick probably Kelsey from High School Musical because I think she liked it more. I don't know if
she
Ella
did.
Had a good time. Yeah.
You're right.
You're so
You're
right.
Right.
You're so right.
Yeah. All right. Shall we wrap this iconic
Let's
movie and
it.
Move on? All right. Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Again, two short ones. Kate, go ahead.
Guys, I just really am concerned about the Crocs situation that is happening in our world. Mm. I was hoping it would be like a really quick little phase and then everyone would go back to making fun of Crocs, but that has not yet happened. And Balenciaga has made it worse. My question is, Balenciaga made Crocs stilettos, and I want to know why. That is something that should never exist, and I know that they made it because it should never exist, and so that people like myself would be sucked in and talk about it on their podcast, and guess what? It worked. However, if you look at these pictures, it's literally a Croc with like a stick on the bottom. It's not even creative. It's literally just a Croc with a stick on the bottom. They also made like platform Crocs boots. And they've already made like wedges, Crocs. And I when will it end? I don't know. And I'm so worried.
Anti-fashion has gone too far.
It really has.
Yeah.
And I just think, the teens have been sucked in and I worry for our future.
Also, on that note of it being a stick, if you look at the photo and you zoom in, it looks like it is the same material that, I mean, I think it is. It has to be. That is made from the Croc shoe. And if you know anything about Crocs, if you've even felt it, you don't even have to wear them. They're bendy. So I'm worried that when you put your shoe in and you put even a little bit of weight, not even your full weight on it, like a quarter of your weight, you will break your ankle.
Yeah, I would hope that they would have some structure, but you know what? You never
know. I don't know.
And honestly, if you put these on your feet, you deserve whatever happens to you. Oh, so, okay. Godspeed.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one. Also, kind of cursed. Keira Knightley kind of just needs to chill. I don't feel as strongly about this as if this came out in like May of 2020 after we had like been in full lockdown for like many months. I feel calmer about it now. However, she still needs to just not speak like this.
Yeah.
She told Harper's Bazaar, the UK, that her quarantine closet and how she spent quarantine was she wore Chanel, a different Chanel outfit, every single day of quarantine.
Okay.
And she put red lipstick on every single day and she dressed her kid up in Chanel every day. And I get her basically reasoning was like, everything is so scary and apocalyptic outside. Like, what's the point of these lovely things sitting in the closet? It's so important to be happy for the kids during this time, which I get in theory. However, dressing up in Chanel every day when so much terrible things have happened in the last year, I'm like, you shouldn't have said that. That, like, no one needs to know that it's Chanel.
No one.
Like, you know? And then she said her husband wore his, quote, array of peacock-colored Gucci suits every day while the mom and the daughter, while she and her daughter were in Chanel. And again, I just don't find that necessary to announce to a world full of many different people who are struggling in the pandemic, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just keep that to yourself. I would say.
When I saw this on there, I was like, okay, Keira Knightley has had like a Chanel everything since like 2007. She has like partnerships with them. She's like the face of them, whatever. So I was like, okay, maybe she's just like doing free promo for Chanel. But then the thing about the suits, they're Gucci. So like you didn't have to say that.
Right.
And like she has to have a team that knows better than this.
I know.
To be like, this is relatable. Like people will love to hear this. This is like Gwyneth Paltrow. Being like, oh, I caved and ate bread. Like, it's not, you gotta know better.
Plus, like, Keira Knightley is not doing so many interviews. We barely hear from her. And I'm like, I like her. I want to hear from her. But not when she's going to say this once every 4 years.
Not like this.
Anyway, tough. All right. That's it. That's the end of the pod. Thank you so much, Kaya, who produces this show every single week. And thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kidawa.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.